glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118, verse 24. What will you celebrate today? If you could personally create any holiday, what would you celebrate? If you wanted to rejoice in your children's good grades, this would be a good day. Same is true for remembering the first time you read through the entire Bible, or your marriage, you tried cauliflower, or overcome some bad habit. Maybe you could let your kids decide what they'd celebrate. We're bound to learn something with what they pick. Maybe it would be just good enough to revel in this day the same way we can do every other day. God made it, and that's the best reason there is. It might even be meaningful to wait until the day is over and name this day for the specific ways we saw God work in our family. There's no wrong way to do it as long as we're full of gratitude and praise for what He has done. Welcome to this Thursday program of Mark and Friends on this 16th day of June. I'm Tim Nelson. Thank you for listening.
I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exalt you, my God, my Maker, every day, I will give thanks to the King. Great are you, Lord. Take my sadness and turn it to praise every day, every day.
Joy.
This is the day you've made.
On December 6, 1907, explosions rocked a small community in West Virginia, producing one of the worst disasters in the history of the coal mining industry. Some 360 miners were killed, and it's been estimated that this tragedy left behind about 250 widows and 1,000 children without dads. Historians maintain that the memorial service became the seedbed from which the celebration of Father's Day in the U.S. would eventually grow. Out of great loss came remembrance and eventually celebration. The greatest tragedy in human history occurred when human beings crucified their creator, yet that dark moment also produced remembrance and celebration. The night before he would go to the cross, Jesus took the elements of Israel's Passover and created his own memorial celebration. Luke's record describes the scene this way: "And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" That's from Luke 22, verse 19. Still today, whenever we take communion, we honor his great unflinching love for us, remembering the cost of our rescue and celebrating the gift of life his sacrifice produced. As Charles Wesley said in his great hymn, "Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?"
Every blessing to my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain fixed upon mount of thy. Ebenezer, here by thy great help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. 'Cause Jesus saw me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious thy goodness like a fetter by my wandering heart to leave. I'm prone to wander, Lord, I fear, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it, seal it for thy courts above. For thy courts above.
Our theme is celebrating what God has done on this Thursday edition of Mark and Friends from Great News Media. A great way to mark a celebration is through a shared feast. The connection between celebrating and feasting in community runs deep throughout the pages of the Bible. Our relationships are renewed each time we celebrate together. Times of celebrating together with feasting bring a shared identity and purpose. We would never make an entire feast and then just invite ourselves. When a feast is being prepared, there's always a crowd, and the slogan is kind of the more the merrier. Even our church potlucks are proof that relationships are strengthened over a meal. Well, in the story of the first Passover mentioned in Exodus 12, we see the beginning of a great journey for the Israelites as they embarked on an adventure of freedom and the promised land. In celebration of what God had already done and anticipation of what he would do, the Israelites prepared and celebrated the first Passover meal. This event marked a significant moment in their lives and the lives of future generations. The ritual of the Feast of Unleavened Bread was born out of a desire to remember God's faithfulness. In verse 14, the Lord says to the Israelites, "You are always to remember this day and celebrate it with a feast to the Lord." Many times the Israelites celebrated so that others would know about the faithfulness of their God and so that future generations wouldn't lose hope. When we mark moments as significant by celebrating victories, we impact not only our lives, but also the lives of future generations. Celebrating victories allows us a chance to connect to our God, who loves us more than we can imagine. Remembering those victories through our celebration provides us with an opportunity to worship, coming together as the body of Christ, saying, "Thank you, Jesus." Celebrating, feasting, picking up rocks out of a river allow us to mark our days as significant. Whether we just got married, had a baby, or just learned how to bake a cake, there's much good to celebrate in the seconds of every day. We just have to open our eyes, our hearts, and our time to it.
Victory in Jesus.
We celebrate Father's Day on Sunday. Abraham is known as the father of many nations. He's a role model of faith and righteousness. He was chosen by God to lead his children and his family. How about modern-day fathers? Fathers are called to provide for the family in all ways, financially, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. As dads, how do we stand strong when we're still trying to find our own way at the same time? Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 and 29 says, "Are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me." That's Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. I'm Tim Nelson. Have a great rest of this Thursday. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll be here tomorrow as it will be Mark and Pastor Jason with their live studio audience and a Bible Q&A session on Mark and Friends at 7:32 a.m. and the rebroadcast at 7:32 p.m. Illinois time tomorrow here on this great news media station.
He climbs in my lap for a good night hug. He calls me dead and I call him Bob. With his faded old pillow, a bear named Pooh, he snuggles up close and says, "I wanna be like you." I tuck him in bed and I kiss him goodnight, tripping over the toys as I turn out the light. I whisper a prayer that someday he'll see he's got a father in God, 'cause he's seen Jesus in me. Lord, I wanna be just like you, 'cause he wants to be just like me. I wanna be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible, Lord, that my little boy can read. I wanna be just like you, 'cause he wants to be like me. Got to admit, I've got so far to go. Make so many mistakes, and I'm sure that you know. Sometimes it seems no matter how hard I try, with all the pressures in life, I just can't get it all right. But I'm trying so hard to learn from the best, being patient and kind, filled with your tenderness, 'cause I know that you learn from the things that he sees, and the Jesus he finds will be the Jesus in me. Lord, I wanna be just like you, 'cause he wants to be just like me. I wanna be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible, Lord, that my little boy can be. I wanna be just like you, 'cause he wants to be like me. Right now, from where he stands, I may seem mighty tall, but it's only 'cause I'm learning from the best father of them. Just like you, 'cause he wants to be like me.